Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone and welcome once again to Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, the first thing that we have to say about last night's Monday Night Raw is, if you're in that crowd in St. Louis, Missouri, give yourself a big, huge round of applause. I don't know as I've seen a better, more receptive wrestling crowd in the last year. Really, I just don't. I mean, this crowd, for the most part, played along with the WWE's scenarios perfectly. I mean, they were buying into everything that the WWE was selling last night. They were having a good time. You could tell in the performances of the performers themselves that they were happy with that response. Everything went well in that department last night, albeit the fact that the Roman Reigns fans in the beginning of this show, the Raw show, were plants. Now, I could tell you how I know, but listen, they were plants, okay? The idea behind it was, we're tired of Roman Reigns getting booed. Maybe if we get a small group of people, put them out there to just cheer for Roman Reigns and let them know they're going to be on camera. Maybe the rest of the crowd will too. So before you go saying, hey, Roman Reigns got over last night, a lot of those people that you were seeing on camera especially were planted by the WWE in order to try to lead the crowd. You know, this is like cult mentality. It bothers me. It bothers me when things like this happen. Because, again, it's the WWE somewhat disrespecting their fans by saying, okay, we can't make you cheer Roman Reigns, but if your peers, if it appears that your peers are cheering Roman Reigns, you will follow along because you were sheep. I just hate that. I hate having to come on here and tell you that those people were plants. But they were. They absolutely were. Nonetheless, we start out with a great tribute to Bruno Sammartino. What can you say? One of the biggest losses in wrestling history, obviously. I thought they did a really good job. WWE usually honors these deaths well, and Bruno's was no exception. They did it throughout the show. I thought it was a good move. Bruno was as important to the WWE, every bit as important as Hulk Hogan, more so probably. Anyway, we start with Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman doing their usual routine of Brock Lesnar bouncing up and down and occasionally smiling and throwing air punches while Paul Heyman says that he's not going to give us a prediction. He's going to give us a spoiler. Folks, this is getting old. I don't care how much you like Paul Heyman, which, listen, nobody likes Paul Heyman more than me. I think Paul Heyman's a genius. But Paul Heyman has been relegated to just a robot. You could send a robot out there to do what Paul Heyman does on most days. And this just isn't working for me anymore. And I don't think it's working for the majority of WWE fans. And to find out that Brock Lesnar's getting $500,000 a match in his new contract, this is ludicrous. You got room for $500,000 a match for Brock Lesnar, but you can't, throw somebody like James Ellsworth, who was helping get a lot of people over, table scraps. It's really weird. It's really weird the way the WWE's mindset works, and I'm not sure they're playing their cards correctly. But anyway, out comes Roman Reigns, and all of the fans that were planted to cheer for Roman Reigns, but there's a smattering, let's be fair, there's a smattering of Roman Reigns fans in that audience. He didn't, here, put it this way. He may not have been wildly cheered, but he wasn't roundly booed either. So even if you take those planted fans out of the mix, it's getting better for Roman. And maybe the fans have just become complacent and said, there's nothing we can do about it. We may as well just relax. It's going to happen and that's it. Or maybe fans are warming up to him a little bit by figuring, you know what, maybe he is better than Lesnar because this is getting old. The WWE may actually have gotten Roman Reigns over by making Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman so boring and so intolerable that fans are just saying, anybody, put it on Reigns. We'll cheer for Reigns. Just get these guys out of the building already. Sick of Brock Lesnar bouncing up on one leg to the other and Paul Heyman saying, ladies and gentlemen, for the millionth time, this has been going on for 3 years. Same exact shtick. No change, no nothing, no curveballs, just straight down the middle. That's the way it is. And it's getting old. Now, here's where they mishandled it, in my opinion. Roman Reigns got in the ring and people were like, okay, we may see something go down here. And if you really wanted fans to cheer for Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar should have tried to pull a sneak attack and either failed or succeeded, one of the two. But to have Roman Reigns simply back out of that ring and walk away after standing up to Lesnar made the fans who were cheering kind of go, oh, we're not going to see anything. And then there was that disappointment factor that led to him not being cheered on the way out. So I think that was the first mistake they made this week, Mike, is not to let something physical happen right there on that spot.
Right. You're right on that. But also, think about this. Before Roman Reigns came out, and the fans are bored with this whole shtick, but as he's speaking, did you catch the boos? You know, they booed Suplex City. They booed just about everything Roman Paul Heyman said, and they booed when he talked about Brock Lesnar. They booed. He was getting round. Both of them were getting round. Yeah, there was a smattering of, yeah, this is boring. This is, you could tell that, but they got booed.
Yeah. Well, they definitely did. Because fans are a little tired of it. I think fans thought we're seeing the end of the Brock Lesnar dominated Raw, where he shows up when he wants to and he gets the big fat contract. And to be honest with you, they mentioned the big fat contract and everything because they know that's a source of aggravation to fans in real life. They don't mention anybody else's contracts. They mention Lesnar's because they know that fans are saying, well, this is bullshit. How come he's making way more than my favorite wrestler when he doesn't do a thing and I'm tired of seeing this and this is crapola, and they think they're going to get him over as a heel that way, I guess, because he's not getting over as a heel any other way. You're talking about a man who can't cut a promo unless it's very, very highly controlled and scripted and done behind the scenes. He's with a guy who doesn't really try to cut any different promo. It's always the same thing at this stage. And I think they're just figuring this is the way to get him over as a heel is just repetitive nonsense and bragging about a contract and having people say, God, I'm tired of it. I think the fans have gotten to that point where they are tired of it. And maybe they're willing to accept Roman Reigns figuring, look, he can't be champion forever. And at least he'll show up every week. As opposed to this Brock Lesnar shows up when he wants to nonsense. Sabretooth, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree, man. And like I said, I mean, like, if he wants to be a part-time, I mean, I have a real problem with Brock Lesnar except the fact that he has that damn title. I mean, if he wants to be a part-time, I'll make him a part-time. That's the way he comes out. I mean, like, make him like an Undertaker. I mean, I have no problem with that. But for God's sakes, take that title off of him because – I mean, like I said before, it's not fair. After when you have AJ, the champion on SmackDown, he's there every week, even like wrestling every damn week. But the Raw champion can't. I mean, to me, that's bullshit, man. I mean, your champion should at least like be there every week doing something, not just coming out whenever he feels like it. That's not. And also, I'm saddened to hear that. Yeah, and you made me sad by saying that those Roman Reigns fans were plants. I was like hoping that the so-called fans would like finally come around, but these are their plants, though. It You have to apologize to me, man.
It was planted, unfortunately, you know, and I don't like that. That leaves a bad taste in my mouth for sure, because it's an attempt to groupthink and control an audience by intimidation, really. Like, oh, well, they're cheering for him. I guess I just don't like it. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Todd, I think they could have done better for Roman Reigns if maybe Brock Lesnar jumped him or attempted to jump him or something.
You're absolutely right there. They should have done something different with what Reigns there. And a little like you said with Heyman, I like Paul Heyman's mic stuff, but it's getting old. Finally, last night, I just had to mute him from talking on TV.
Yeah, because it gets old after a while. Anyway, we come back from that, and it is Elias who's going to give a concert again, and he's interrupted by Bobby Roode's music. And right away, I'm not liking this. I'll tell you why I'm not liking it. Because I don't see a good outcome. I see Bobby Roode wins and Elias just goes further down the ladder. Or I see Bobby Roode loses and Bobby Roode begins his Raw run as a mid-carder. So I'm not even liking that they match them up to begin with. And my ultimate hope is, well, maybe they'll do a double countout, DQ. They'll lead this to a longer program where both guys end up looking reasonably strong regardless of what happens. They won't just throw this away in one shot. And maybe they didn't. Maybe there'll be a rematch next week or whatever where Roode will win. 50-50 booking. That's how they do it. But then that doesn't help anyone. But boy, was I surprised. Well, number one, it was a really good match. This is what happens when the crowd is actually into it and the wrestlers can, you know, feel it out a little bit and feel like giving a performance. And I was shocked that they let Elias win. Truthfully, I was. Because they had Bobby Roode right in the mix last week with the top guys on that five-man tag team match. And I thought, well, Bobby Roode's going to be one of their top guys over here. And to have him upset by Elias proves two things. One, they think a lot of Elias and they're going to start running with him a little bit. And two, I think they feel the luster has come off Bobby Roode a bit. Now, again, next week he could come out and he could beat Elias and they could say, well, they're 50-50 and that would not surprise me at all because that's how the WWE does it. But yeah, this one surprised me a little bit, Sabretooth, because I really thought they had Bobby Roode pegged as one of the top five or six guys there, and wow, he gets his first loss.
Right, and I'm like you. I mean, it was a very good match. My only drawback is that I'm tired of this old generic paper cutout gimmick. After where they're feuding because he interrupted his music. I mean, how many guys have done that to Elias already? He's had feuds with them. I mean, like we said yesterday, I mean, like we need better gimmicks as to where it's something more personal than someone interrupting his music. It has to be. I mean, that was a good match, and it was a good match. And it still could be a good feud if the gimmick was better than just someone interrupting his music. I mean, make him do something so heinous to Bobby Roode or whatever to make it after where we want to see these guys fight again. You know. But just fighting because he interrupted his music, I mean, that wears pretty thin, you know?
Yeah, and again, it smacks of lazy. They don't want to flesh anything more out than, oh, well, everybody is annoyed by Elias's music, so that's the start of every single feud. And, you know, Sabretooth is right, Mike. You got to flesh him out a little more than that, otherwise it gets old real quick.
Yeah, and this is one of the parts of the show that I think that the fans were kind of disappointed in, because I think they look forward to Elias's performances, to his songs, think the fans are starting to get that. You're starting to get that feel that it was a disappointment that Bobby Roode came in there and interrupted his song. They were looking forward to hearing what Elias had to say.
You're right, because the fans look forward to saying who wants to walk with Elias and what does WWE stand for. They look forward to that audience participation thing, and you're right. The WWE says, well, we'll let Bobby Roode take it away from him because After all, Elias is the heel, and he's saving the crowd from being picked on. Well, the crowd don't look at it that way, though. They really don't. Todd, what was your thoughts on the Elias and Bobby Roode match?
Well, to be honest with you, I thought it was a pretty good match. I thought it was going to be like a double count out or a double disqualification, or one of them got disqualified, get the disqualification victory.
Yeah.
Either way, it was a pretty good match.
Yeah, I thought it was too, and it proves that, you know, Elias can work a decent match with a decent worker. So I was happy with it. Again, a little surprised in the outcome, but we'll see what happens next week. Then we get Woken Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt against the Ascension. Well, the Ascension's switch to Raw didn't mean much, did it? They're just going to be used the same exact way. But what I am seeing is I'm beginning to be okay with the Bray Wyatt, Matt Hardy team, because Bray isn't really changing into a Matt Hardy, and a Matt Hardy's not really changing into Bray. The only problem I do see is that they try to combine their two personalities in a really awkward way. You know, I mean, first you get that Woken thing in the beginning, and then it goes into Bray Wyatt's music, and then they do the blowing out of the thing and the delete, and it's like, wow, it's going back and forth in an awkward sort of way. It's not gelling, let's put it that way. It's not gelling all that well, but they're an interesting tag team, and the fans definitely enjoyed them. Definitely enjoyed them. Now, this was a hot audience, by the way. This was a really, really good audience. WWE should have it bottled. But they definitely enjoyed it, and listen, there are matches like this that in certain states, certain areas, fans are going to be sitting on their hands. Oh, it's the Ascension. We know they're losing. And Bray and Matt Hardy, yeah, we get it. Okay. Maybe a few of us will do the delete thing. That's about it. Uh-uh. This crowd was into it like this was a main event. And you have to respect that. Sabretooth, they make an okay team. It's just they're a little awkward in combining their gimmicks.
Right. And I also like the fact that, like you said, you know, they're not making Bray Wyatt into another Matt Hardy. I mean, it's like they're two separate characters. And also, I like how they have Matt Hardy. He's kind of like thrown off by Bray's style. You know, like he's talking about, like he's gonna bring the darkness, and Matt's like, whoa, you know, and Matt's like thrown off. Even he's like weirded out by Bray Wyatt sometimes, and I like that. You know, but as far as the Ascension goes, I like the Ascension, and it pissed me off that they was in a squash match like that. I mean, because everybody else who debuted on Raw won their matches. Even the Fashion Police won last week. But they couldn't let the Ascension win. I mean, just give those guys a squash match and just let them win. I like the Ascension, and they deserve better than that. They're going to be jobbed out like that.
Yeah, it would have been nice if a couple of times at least we saw what the Ascension could do before they just returned to jobbers, Mike.
Yeah, and look. What I do like I do agree with you that this is kind of a clunky kind of a thing that they're doing with Bray Wyatt, but I do like this kind of reworking of the Twist of Fate. It's a unique finishing maneuver for these guys.
Yeah, and if you watch Bray Wyatt, he looks kind of rejuvenated. He's wrestling better than he was. He seems a little more energetic and into it, and maybe this whole thing will work out for the better. I still say there's going to be a turn coming, Todd, but good match overall.
You're absolutely right there about Bray Wyatt. I got that feeling. It is a good match with Wyatt and Hardy against the Ascension. Oh, like you said, you're gonna see a heel turn, another heel turn for Bray Wyatt. Like a month or two down the road.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to keep him this way forever. There's no doubt in my mind that Bray Wyatt will turn. But hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And right now it looks like it's working. So far so good. Let's get to the next spot here. Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler come out, to face Titus Worldwide. And man, does Drew McIntyre look good. And I warned everybody. I said, you know, you can try to pull this Shawn Michaels Diesel thing, which reminds, that's, you know, kind of what it is, isn't it? Drew McIntyre is Diesel and Dolph Ziggler, Shawn Michaels kind of thing. That's kind of what it reminds me of. But, man, I told you that it's very possible that Dolph Ziggler gets overshadowed by Drew McIntyre. And Drew McIntyre was throwing people around that ring like it was all right. He was looking like a world beater. But then the ultimate nail in the coffin, if you're Dolph Ziggler, is Shawn Michaels was always the mouthpiece. Shawn Michaels was always the guy that grabbed that microphone and said, blah, 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 blah. And then Diesel would just be like, that's right, you know. He had very little to say. Drew McIntyre grabbed that microphone last night and just tore it up. I mean, when you have a guy say there are people in that dressing room who's just collecting a paycheck, couldn't give a damn about the quality of their work, I was in shock. I really was. I said, holy crap, man. I mean, that's pretty close to the bone. And he was just great. He was just fantastic. That man, and I've said it since he was way back when he was before 3MB, I said Drew McIntyre, star in the making if they treat him right. They just didn't. And I thought it was very smart of Corey Graves to say, look, 10 years has went by since this 3MB stuff or whatever. It's a new person. It's not even the same person. And in that, he probably helped Drew McIntyre a lot. But last night, Drew McIntyre took that spotlight and put it directly on himself. And trust me when I tell you, it's going to be hard for Dolph Ziggler, who's a very much a 50-50, I lose some, I win some type guy. He's not Shawn Michaels. You got to remember, when Shawn Michaels brought in Diesel, Shawn Michaels was already a guy who very seldom lost. Very seldom did Shawn Michaels lose. And now he's got this guy protecting him that makes him double tough. The difference here is that Dolph Ziggler very seldom wins. So now he's got a guy who might cut him a few wins, but the guy who is cutting him a few wins is going to be the guy who wins the majority of the matches and apparently is going to have equal time on the mic. And I think that's going to take some of the luster off of Dolph Ziggler and put it on Drew McIntyre, Sabretooth. What do you think?
You're exactly right. And also, like, notice during that match, the announcers, all they talked about was, during that match, the announcers, Ziggler's name didn't even come up. They were all talking about Drew McIntyre the whole time.
Yep. That's right.
Ziggler's name probably came up once or twice, and even then, it was nothing big. I mean, so, and I don't get how, I mean, and what's the end game of this? Is Drew his stooge or something? Is he going to help him win championships? I don't see that. Nuh-uh, not after what he said on that mic last night. I don't see that. Like you said, that was like, wow. You know, he's doing that mic. And basically, they made a mistake putting this guy with Dolph.
I think they did, and I said it last week. I think they made a mistake doing it. I think just let Drew McIntyre come out and be Drew McIntyre, because that guy's a star in the making and a big one. Nonetheless, Mikey tore it up last night.
He did tear it up. And look, here's something to think about. They call him 6'5", but you look at him versus Titus. Titus is a good 6'6", and he towers over Titus. You know, he's got to be 6'9", if he's anything, you know. That's how big this guy is. I mean, we all the time talk about him versus, our friend, the anti-American guy there. And because, you know, he's 6'5", and he towers over him. But Titus is not a small man, and he's bigger than Titus.
Yeah, and he was throwing around Titus. Listen, Drew McIntyre looked great last night. Absolutely great. I feel that this is not going to help Ziggler much, but it certainly will help McIntyre, Todd.
You're absolutely right there. If they do this with Drew McIntyre, they should do this the right way.
I wish they'd just done it with him solo and not hook him up with, you know, in this Shawn Michaels Diesel type thing, which is what they're trying to do. Anyway, one of the things that was going on backstage is that the Miztourag was attempting to become the new Shield, and of course he was turned down by Seth Rollins, and then they were trying to become the new Balor Club or whatever, Bullet Club, and they were turned down by Finn Balor. And really, I don't know. I mean, I thought they were Elias's buddies. I thought that would be the first thing they would do is maybe try to hook up with Elias, but they didn't do that. So they're kind of like leaving that connection behind, I guess, which is weird. I don't know why they would do that. I mean, it's fun, and I know it led to the match, which is the whole point, but didn't make a lot of sense. Let's go to Chad Gable versus Jinder Mahal. Jinder Mahal, very good on the microphone. Jinder Mahal had the line of the night. And believe me, there were a lot of great lines. People just in the back, you know, just there to collect a paycheck. That's a pretty good line. But Jinder Mahal threw me off when he said, hey, you've been to Chad Gable. Hey, you've been working out a little bit. You got a little bit bigger since you won the tag team belt with Braun Strowman. That was great. That was funny as hell. Thing about Chad Gable. Chad Gable looks like he's 12. Chad Gable makes the perfect underdog for any situation because he looks like he is outclassed by everybody physically. And he just has that face of just like, you know, deer in the headlights, sort of, I'm in over my head everywhere I am. But they're building him up to be this guy who, you know, he's hard to wear down and he's stronger than he looks and he doesn't give up. He's like a Daniel Bryan type. They're building him up like an underdog Daniel Bryan type, which is exactly what they should do. That's the exact right move. And I was absolutely one. I was standing on my feet when Jinder Mahal attacked him as he was getting in the ring and he went face first onto the thing because I said, okay. Jinder Mahal isn't even going to – we're not even going to have this match. Jinder Mahal is going to whip his ass on the outside there, and we're going to say we didn't even got a fair chance to see this match. And that's not going to hurt Chad Gable. That's going to help Chad Gable when they have the match. And let Jinder go on to this greatest Royal Rumble thing to see if he's going to win the title back or not, and if he isn't, fine. You've got a guy waiting in Chad Gable as a feud. But no, they didn't do that. Now, the match was great, but I just don't see how you let Jinder Mahal lose both of his Raw matches in a row, and then you're sending him to the greatest Royal Rumble to have that U.S. title rematch. It just seems odd. I would have rather seen a disqualification because one of the Singh brothers, or the only Singh brother that's left, jumped in, or something. I know it's an upset pin, and I know it's like one of those, man, I just barely got him. I didn't outpower him. I didn't beat him up. I just tricked him and got him in a hold he couldn't get out of. I get that. I get that philosophy, but I still don't like it. Not at this time. That would have been fine after the title defense. But I think it was poorly timed. I loved the beginning where he took a header on the outside. And I thought, geez, if they do have the match, let it be a DQ. Let it be, you know, something that's going to lead to more feud between these two because I'm liking that. I'm liking the dynamic. They work well together. And I don't want to see a one and done. It won't be a one and done. They're going to fight again. But I'd rather have not had any conclusion. Having said that, I think they're doing the right thing with Chad Gable, Sabretooth, and, you know, Jinder, unfortunately, isn't doing so well on Raw. Man, did he have a good interview backstage.
Right, and I'm surprised that they let him lose like that because, I mean, also, this is a going-home show, really. This is like a going-home show, really, before the like before Friday's Big Royal Rumble. This is like a going-home show, and to have Jinder lose like that, you know, like you said, I would rather, you know, like, have, like, the Singh brother interfere, have or maybe, like, have, like, Jinder win, you know, have him, like, cheat Chad Gable, I love it, or maybe a disqualification. But kudos to Chad Gable for selling it after that match, though. I mean, he crawled outside the ring like it was hurt. He wasn't showboat. I mean, he sold that match, though. I mean, Jinder beat his ass. I mean, he just happened to squeak that win out. And kudos to and like I said, and kudos to Chad Gable for, like, selling it that way. I mean, like,
not only kudos to Chad Gable for doing that, but kudos to whoever wrote that he runs into Kurt Angle. And Kurt Angle says he mentions Jason Jordan, which is a good thing. Now, we're supposed to forget that they kind of made fun of Jason Jordan, him and Shelton Benjamin. I wish they had never done that. Because I'll tell you the truth, if they had kept Benjamin and Gable as faces, and they went over there and talked to, you know, Jason Jordan when they had that one shot there, and Jordan was, you know, wished them well, and he wished them well or whatever, it would have been so good to have Chad Gable say, you know, I'm glad I'm not teaming with him, not because I don't like him. I like him, but I want to show what I can do on my own. But I am concerned about him. How is he? And because then when Jordan comes back, he's got somebody to feud with that I'm interested in watching him feud with. So I'm liking what they're doing here, and I think that's what's going to happen. I'm liking what they're doing here. I just wish it wasn't at the expense of Jinder Mahal, because that's two times in a row. And you got to be careful of how many times you have Mahal lose if you want him to stay relevant and have heat, Mike.
Right. And look, I'll put it to you this way. It's almost as if they're deciding to continue what they started on SmackDown before they put him in the tag team with Shelton Benjamin. Remember what they were doing on SmackDown? How they were kind of pushing him up the ladder and doing this Daniel. It was almost the same gimmick that they're doing here. The underdog gimmick and all this stuff and the Daniel Bryan type gimmick. And then they decide to put him with Shelton Benjamin in American Beta. They kind of short-circuited that. And now they seem to be going back to it.
The thing that I know, here's how I know it's working. I know it's working because both times he was involved in a tag team, American Alpha and this American Beta thing. I haven't been a big Chad Gable fan. And when he wrestles solo, when he wrestled AJ Styles, and when he wrestled again Jinder Mahal this week, I can get a better vibe from him. I could see Chad Gable going far as that underdog, small guy thing if they play it right. The guy who just barely squeaks out the victory. But you see, this is the difference. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Chad Gable is not that much smaller than Finn Balor. Look how Chad Gable wins. He doesn't win by, well, I kicked the head off, kicked his head off, or I outpowered him, or I muscled him through. No. He wins by, well, I wrapped him up in a wrestling move. He couldn't get out. He's not hurt. I didn't hurt him. I just got my win and got the hell out against a bigger guy. That's kind of the way you're supposed to be promoting the smaller guys. If they continue to promote Gable that way, he's going to get popular, Todd, as an underdog, you know, who people root for.
You're absolutely right there. Oh, like you said, when he was on SmackDown Live, he was a heel. Now he got drafted to Raw as a face. But either way, he's going to be one of those underdog faces who just turned face as an underdog. It's going to help him build them up a little bit. He's going to be like a Rey Mysterio underdog type.
Maybe even more than Rey. I mean, more like Daniel Bryan, where Bryan became not so much an underdog when he got that real push and he won most all of his matches. But for a short period of time, Bryan was that guy who people said, I don't think he can do it, but he's going to give it a hell of a shot. And I could see Chad Gable taking that spot, Mike.
I can see him too. And look, I mean, it could be one of these things where this game, I mean, we've said it. Gable reminds me of a bit of Scott Steiner before he became Big Papa Pump. He was a smaller guy. I mean, he wasn't that much smaller, but he wasn't 260 pounds, you know. And
right.
He was a good wrestler, but by himself, you wouldn't have thought that, you know, you wouldn't have thought that Scott Steiner would have become what he was. I mean, now they went a different way with him, but, you know, and that was due to Scott Steiner, but if he stayed small, we might have seen this type of thing with Scott Steiner, because that's kind of who he reminds me of. He has that same look. He has, you know, the long hair, the bandana, the ring gear looks just like Scott Steiner used to look before he became what he became, and you know, he is what he is, and you're
right.
Yeah,
he's got some credibility, I mean, as a real athlete, and he's certainly a lot stronger than he appears. I do think that Chad Gable could go far. If given the opportunity, I think he could go far. Let's get to the Sammy and Kevin show, because this is where I thought things started to get down a little bit. usually you can give Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens anything to do when they come out smelling like a rose. They're very good at ad-libbing. They're very good at getting their personalities over. They're very good at entertaining the audience. And there was some of that. But this fell flat. This was not what – I don't think this is what they'd hoped it to be. Now, the problem most of it is because they're going to use them almost like – they use The Miz, where they're going to get over with the audience, not they're going to get over it as heels that the audience like instead of heels that the audience hates, because they're going to have all the funny lines and the controversial lines and the ha-has and the buddy-buddy system. And they had already gotten these guys away from that on SmackDown and gotten them to be legit heels that people didn't like. And now they're going over to Raw and they're going to make that same mistake again, where they're going to put these guys in the entertaining heel category and fans aren't going to boo him. So I thought that whole thing was a mistake, Sabretooth, and it fell flat to me a bit.
You took the words right out of my mouth, man, because these guys were – I mean, like, these guys had legitimate heel heat on SmackDown after what they – you know, with the whole Daniel Bryan, Shane McMahon fiat, you know. And now they've been – like you said, another on the Raw. And he said – you know, and then when he said, like, you know, they moved the Miz to SmackDown, so we got to replace him. Do not – like you said, I mean, people shouldn't be liking what these guys do. I mean, they shouldn't be saying all the cool stuff that fans like. These guys have legit heel heat. Keep that heat on these guys. Eventually, what's gonna come down to is eventually, maybe like jump Kurt Angle and beat him up somehow. It's coming, I think. But at the same time, don't kill that heel heat. These guys shouldn't be the cool guys in class. I mean, they should be like the guys that come in and people want somebody to kick their ass. I mean, they had that on SmackDown. Keep it rolling along.
I agree 100%. I think that's a huge problem, and the WWE tends to remake their problems often. I know they feel they got enough heat with other people on Raw, but Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens came in with heat, and now that heat is all gone, Mike, in my opinion.
Yeah, and we know what the Miz's gimmick is, and he's good at what he does. What they were aiming for is it was kind of aiming for a Piper's Pit type thing, where Piper's Pit was cool, but he did some dastardly things on that thing, and he cut to the bone, and he did the both sides. That's what they're aiming for. But like you say, it fell flat. And to me, I'd almost rather see, if they're going to do something like this, I'd almost rather see them do it with somebody like Ambrose, you know?
I agree 100%. Because I think you've wasted their heat. And I know the WWE is going to say, well, but they're entertaining, and that's what their job is. They're going to be the entertaining heels. Look, prove they could do the opposite and do it well. And to just give them a talk show where they get to be goofy and the class clowns, as Sabretooth 100% nailed, I don't like it. It feels wrong to me, Todd.
You're absolutely right there. I don't like it either, and doing a Sammy and Kevin show, it's they should be like a serious heel tag team, not like being goofy or stupid or funny or anything.
I mean,
like
they could do the talk show if they want to legitimately, you know, be heels and get heat, but having all the one-liners and all that kind of stuff, I'm not into it. I think it's a huge mistake. Anyway, we then get their tag team match. Again, Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley. And look, the WWE obviously doesn't think as much of Bobby Lashley as we think they think of Bobby Lashley, because he's introduced, he beats up Elias in 10 seconds, and then he's thrown into a tag team match, which he doesn't even win. He's the guy on the floor while somebody else wins. And then he's thrown into a tag team match again this week, meaning they're not pushing him as a singles guy. He's not going to be in a permanent tag team, but they're not giving us a chance to see him. They haven't debuted Bobby Lashley and said, let's throw him a couple of jabrones and build up his character. It's just, no, throw him right in the main mix, and we don't know what to do with him, so team him with this guy. I'll put him in a five-team thing. They're not giving him anything. And once again, he's on there with Braun Strowman, and guess who overshadows him? Braun Strowman. Who's the crowd all chanting for? Braun Strowman, who is so over. Braun Strowman is so over. And he deserves to be over, because I got to tell you something, man. Those shoulder blocks that he gave, and give credit to Kevin Owen. I may be yelling at Kevin Owen for, you know, what they're doing to him, making him the class clown. But I'm not saying anything bad about Kevin Owen's ring acumen. Kevin Owen's great in the ring, and Kevin Owen can get over whatever they want him to do. And Kevin Owen sold, though, I don't know whether he sold him or Braun Strowman just ran him over like a Jeep. But I'm telling you that Kevin Owen bounced off that barricade like one of those rubber balls in a concrete room. That looked impressive. And then he does the ridiculous flat drop kick there. I mean, this guy is cranking. Braun Strowman's cranking. He's coming into his own. His cardio is getting better. His moves set. He's getting more confident in what he can do. He just took the spotlight right off of Bobby Lashley. And this is the thing I'm trying to say. If you want to make Lashley an individual guy under a big spotlight in a big spot, you don't put him next to Braun Strowman, where the fans are going to concentrate mostly on Braun Strowman. And Lashley's an afterthought. At one point in this match, the announcers even said, Lashley's smiling because look who his partner is. He don't really have to do much of the work. Well, that doesn't sell Lashley. That doesn't sell Lashley at all. Once again, this was the Braun Strowman show, and I think Sabretooth, that doesn't speak well of what they have in mind for Bobby Lashley right now.
Right. To me, like watching that match, the very thing that popped in my head was Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. It's the same situation, really. I mean, and don't get me wrong. I mean, like, Braun Strowman is over. I mean, that guy, I mean, he's a throwback, man. That guy, that was his match last night. I mean, it was all him. And Lashley is a whole different animal. I mean, like, he's pretty damn, I mean, Lashley, he's been there before. People know what Lashley can do. I mean, yeah, it don't make sense to pair him up with someone who's going to steal their thunder from him. I mean, because everybody's looking for. I mean, because it's, I mean, like, I mean, I think like people know that Lesnar and Lashley is going to happen. I mean, we all know it's going to happen. It has to happen. But putting him with Braun Strowman isn't helping him out right now. It's not. He's a single guy.
It's not, and I'll tell you something. I hope it doesn't happen, because the way they're promoting Lashley, he's not going to beat Lesnar. I would have rather seen Lashley come in as his impact character, a heel, and maybe work a program with Strowman. Would have been just as good, if not better, because Strowman's over. If Lashley's not over and Lesnar's not over, the match is interesting, but it doesn't carry the same weight as Braun Strowman is over like you can't believe and Lashley is a heel. Then that carries a lot of weight. So I don't know, Mike. It seems like they're not really using Lashley in any way that, to me, screams main eventer.
Right. And I mean, I get what Corey Graves is trying to do when he says to the fact of, I don't see, if they stay together, I don't see who's going to beat these guys. You know, there's going to be a dominating tag team if they stay together. That again tells me that that one, he's trying to save something, and two, that they don't care to do anything. And you know, like you say, Strowman is over. I mean, as evidenced by the whole get these hands chant.
Yeah, he's over. I mean, Strowman right now is one of their most popular guys. That crowd was hot last night for everybody. Strowman is completely over, Todd. You've got to run with Braun Strowman if you're smart.
You're absolutely right there about Braun Strowman. He is definitely over with the crowd. Like you said, it's to me, I don't think he needs a belt at all right now. He's way over with the fans, with everybody in the crowd. Just run with it.
He doesn't need the belt, but he needs a good opponent. He needs an opponent that people are going to say, oh, I can't wait to see this. And I don't know who it's going to be. See, that could have been Lashley. I think that's part of the problem. At this point, I don't see anybody that fans are going to say, oh, well, there's a really, really good match for Braun Strowman. Who is it? Anyway, we get Seth Rollins and Finn Balor and the Miztourage. Look, again, I don't think this is doing Seth Rollins any favors. I don't know why he's in tag team matches, and I don't know why he's hooking up with Finn Balor and all this kind of stuff. The Finn Balor thing is getting old, and it's he's not over that well. And you're going to drag him down. You're going to drag Seth Rollins down if you keep this nonsense up. Seth Rollins is a champion, and he needs to defend his belt, not get caught up in tag team matches with silly comedy acts. Now, that's not saying I don't like the Miztourage. You don't want to make him a silly comedy act by all means. Push him. But the way you're pushing him now, for a champion to get caught up in that silliness, just because, and what was their ultimate crime that they asked to be a part of their entourage? It doesn't even fly. I don't even know why this match existed, Sabretooth.
I just don't get the whole Miztourage having to try and latch on to somebody. I mean, both these guys are second generation superstars. I mean, Mike Rotunda and Mr. Perfect. They can run off that. I mean, they can come off like we're a second generation. Our dads were icons, and so are we. I mean, go off the whole. I mean, like Charlotte Flair does it with Ric Flair. I mean, what can these two guys do it? They don't need to latch on to somebody it's stupid to me.
It is because what happened to Elias? I thought they were, good friends with Elias. Elias is doing well. Why wouldn't you try to hook up with him? So the whole thing doesn't really make a ton of sense. Mike, I think that, this is not going to help Seth Rollins in the long run.
Oh, it's not going to help him. And it's not going to do anything for the Miztourage. To me, I'm almost going to say this. They're not going to do anything with the Beauty and the Man Beast. We know that. We know that Rhino is not long for this world. He's not long for the sport. So I would almost say, take those three guys, take the Miztourage and Heath Slater, and stick them in the Outcast again. If they won't be in a group so much.
I mean, do something with them, but at this stage, I just don't like the way it has Seth Rollins featured, because it's almost like, well, I have nothing to do as champion, so I'll just tag team with Finn Balor, who should be a number one contender or one of them. I'll just tag team with him against some guys who pissed us off because they asked us if they could help us. That doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, and I didn't like it. We then get to what we thought. Now, here's the thing. Here's how the WWE spins things. I love it. The WWE says, well, we took some heat because the women can't go to Saudi Arabia, so the women are going to have their day. They're going to have their match, their big match, the main event of Raw. And I said to myself, I smell a rat, because I don't see Ronda Rousey's name. And we've been told Ronda Rousey's going to be at every Raw. She's going to be a real participant. She's not going to be like Brock Lesnar. She's going to be a real member of this roster. And I'm saying to myself, really? Well, where the hell is she? So when this match is announced, I say, okay, let me see. Natty is going to get herself in some trouble, and Ronda's going to come out to make the save. And this whole entire, we're going to feature the women on the main event because they didn't get to go to Saudi Arabia, is really, we need Ronda in the spotlight. This is getting old quick. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm a big Ronda Rousey fan, MMA. Always was. I always thought she was kind of photogenic. I thought, even in movies, I've seen her in movies, and I'm like, she looks good on screen. She they can feed her the lines. She's all right, like Ronda Rousey. When I heard she was coming to the WWE, I really thought, well, yes, we'll see what happens. I think she has a real shot. And everyone is fanboying her to death. All of these professional wrestling bloggers and talk show hosts are saying, isn't she wonderful? She's just amazing. And I'm standing here saying, it's like the emperor has no clothes. The emperor's new clothes. Remember that? Where he's naked and nobody wants to say so because he's the emperor or whatever. The bottom line is this. She's not ready. I'll be the one to say it. She's not ready. She She don't know whether to walk down to the ring or run down to the ring. She doesn't know whether to look mad. She doesn't know. Her facial expressions are actually comical. This pout thing that she did, I mean, that's like, you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of like when you're in third grade and they have a play. And you say, you come out and you be mad. And so you just put that face on because I guess that's the mad face. Never one time did I think she was actually mad. Never one time did she make me believe she was concerned about Natty's well-being. Now, you want to know how to really do it, you take a look at Mickie James. You take a look at Mickie James' facial expression. You take a look at Mickie James' body language. And that's the way you do it. Ronda Rousey don't have it. And to do this rundown of, I'll bend over you like a robot, and then I'll look pouty-faced at Mickie James, and then I'll bend over you and look like, this is just terrible. Now, what Ronda can do is when she got in the ring and did the judo flip was cool because it was real. Just judo flipped the girl, which is pretty badass. But here's the deal. That's not going to carry you through pro wrestling. I'm telling you, it's not going to. Fans are going to get sick of this. She's going to have to start having some matches, one-on-one matches, not scripted nonsense like she did with Stephanie McMahon at WrestleMania, where it took a year, well, 6 months to script it. And we'll walk through it 800 million times so we know for sure you know it. She's going to have to start having some matches. She's going to have to be a big girl and get pushed out of the nest. And she's either going to fly or she's going to crash. And right now she's going to crash. I'm telling you, she's going to. So what they're doing, they're going to put her in there with Mickie James, who's a girl who's going to make sure she doesn't crash because she's a veteran. And she can lead her through some stuff. She's going to hook her up with Natty, who's a veteran and a trainer. And make sure she doesn't crash with that stuff. Eventually, she'll fight Natty. That's where that's going to go. And for the next 6 to 8 months, while she's training and learning, she's going to be protected by Mickie James and Natty, which is an okay idea. But she's not ready. And for you folks to come out there and say, well, this is to make up for the fact that the women aren't going to Saudi Arabia, that's bullshit. This was to get Ronda Rousey the spotlight at the end of Raw. And that's as simple as that, Sabretooth.
Yeah, I'm like you, man. I felt a big fat rat when they said, I mean, when they gave him the main event, a five-woman tag, and I'm like, and also, it's just, and you are so right, man. People are bending over backwards praising this woman, but at the same time, they'll boo Roman Reigns, though, when she's doing the exact same shit they're booing Roman Reigns for. These so-called fans, and I'm just fucking sick of it. I mean, it irks me to no end, man, because, okay, and also, don't they realize what she's doing is that she's making your women's division look bad. I mean, Natty had Mickie James in the damn sharpshooter, and she wouldn't tap out. All of a sudden, Ronda Rousey puts in that arm bar. All of a sudden, you are making your women's division look like shit by pushing Ronda Rousey this way. And as a fan, I don't like it. I'm not liking her, and I'm not liking how they're treating these girls, man. Because, she just outshone their whole woman. Storylines put aside, it's all about Ronda Rousey now. There's a woman's match now like this. It's like a Ronda Rousey moment. Forget the rest of the girls.
Right. I would have rather seen Ronda Rousey come down, not with a pouty face like a little girl whose lollipop was taken away from her by her mother, but concern that her friend is okay. Bend down over her, get kicked in the face by Mickie James, who takes her by surprise. And I don't care how tough you are. If you get kicked directly in the face by a girl who's a professional athlete, that should hurt. That should stop you. And then if Mickie James got out of that ring and decimated Ronda Rousey a bit and then took off when Rousey started to make a little bit of a comeback or something, I think that would have went a lot farther toward helping Ronda Rousey than just have her throw around Mickie James like she was garbage, Mike.
You're right on that. And frankly, if you look at the three ex-MMA girls that are on the roster, the best of the bunch is Shayna Baszler. She's got the facial expressions, and she's got it down. Now, is she ready to come up? I don't know. But she's got it down. Ronda Rousey doesn't have it down. She's right now where Braun Strowman was 8 months to a year ago. She's green as grass.
Yeah, and look, she's got a lot of work to do on her facial expression. She's got a lot of work to do on her body language. She's got a lot of work to do on her promos. She's got a lot of work to do. And she's going to have to sell eventually, and she's going to have to put some of these girls over a little bit. It's tough, too. Otherwise, she just becomes, you know, we're told she's one of the girls now. Well, that's not one of the girls. One of the girls says, well, why didn't she attack me and really get the advantage for a minute? Not, well, when I come out, eight girls run because I'm like Braun Strowman and we're on 205 Live. And there's five 205 Live guys in the ring, and all of a sudden you hear, Braun, and everybody's like, fuck that. And they take off. That's not the way that should be. She's not that big. Okay, she has a reputation, but come on, these girls are supposed to be professional fighters. So I don't know, Todd. I think Ronda's a little ways away, and I think they're going to shove her down our throats a bit.
You're absolutely right there about Ronda Rousey. Like you said, I don't think she's really, really working out to try to get in the ring. I think they're just throwing her in here just to beat other females up. And
that's all it is the Ronda Rousey show. And to say we may have this match to give the females their main event, that's really disingenuous, and that leaves a bad taste in my mouth, too. I would like to talk about one thing quickly before we give our ratings, and that is yours truly had said probably a year and a half ago, I ran into an independent wrestler by the name of Keith Lee. And I told everyone on the show, and I told everyone on Facebook, and I told every wrestling fan, the guy's amazing. Watch him while you can, because he will not be on the independent circuit long. This is a guy the WWE, the minute they hear about him, they're going to swallow him up. He's probably 6'4", 6'5", very close to 320. He moves like Rey Mysterio. Does suicide dives over the top rope. He's entertaining. He's good on the mic. He's amazing. He's like Mark Henry meets Jeff Hardy. It's ridiculously amazing. And I told everybody he's going to be big. And apparently the WWE has offered him an NXT contract. He has so far kind of denied it, but the word is they've offered him the contract. And in May, he will be heading to NXT, and he won't be there long. He will be a guy who's going to make this main roster. So for the benefit of you people who listened to me and got to see him in little 200-seat places and got to meet him and shake hands with him and see what he could do, remember who told you. Anyway, let's rate Raw. I'll tell you, the crowd, some of the matches, yes, there were problems. The Ronda Rousey thing bothered me. The Roman Reigns plants in the audience bothered me. The Miz Taraj not hooking up with Elias, which would have been absolutely obvious, was dumb. I don't like Seth Rollins being thrown in tag team matches when he's a champion, and I don't like Jinder Mahal losing when he's supposed to be the number one contender and the former champion. However, there was a lot more right than there was wrong this week with Raw. I actually enjoyed a lot of these matches. I actually saw some branches on the tree of where they might be going with some of these guys, and I'm going to give it a B+. Mike, what's your thought?
I'm going to give it a B+ as well. And did you catch as they were coming out for the match? Yeah, the crowd was hot for Bayley, but when Sasha's music hit, did you catch the look on Bayley's face?
Yeah. I don't know. There's something going to go on there. I just don't know which way they're going to fly with it. Todd, your rating?
B+.
Another B+. And Sabretooth.
B+ with a missed opportunity with the whole Baron Corbin. No way, Jose.
Oh, yeah.
He should have beat him up a lot more. Maybe take out some of those Conga line players. I mean, they should have done a lot more. It should have been like more heinous to him. He should have done a lot more with him than what he did. It should have been like a lot
You're
more.
You're right.
More.
You know what? I'm glad you reminded me. We're going to stay on the air here for the benefit of the people who are in the chat room. You might have to log into the other way. We're going to talk about Baron Corbin for a minute because that came very close to making my B+ a C-, and I'll tell you why. I really thought there wasn't going to be anything, Sabretooth. I thought Baron Corbin was going to walk away from that match and Jose was going to dance back to the dressing room, and that was going to be it. And if that was it, this would have been a C-minus show because, once again, you're using Baron Corbin badly. But you are 100% correct. When Baron Corbin showed up at the end and started beating on Jose, I fully expected that maybe a couple of those entourage people would come back, you know, they're wrestlers anyway, and get tossed around by Baron Corbin, where you say, oh man, he made an impact. He hurt a couple people who aren't even wrestlers. You know, he had already taken out Jose, so Jose couldn't help him. And Corbin would have came off as a badass. What I didn't like was Baron Corbin saying, I know your plan. Here's your entourage, and they're all going to jump me. It's going to be like 5-on-1. And the reason I didn't like it is these guys are supposed to be just weirdos. They're not supposed to be wrestlers. And for Corbin to be afraid of, like, just normal people at ringside, I didn't like that. It came across bad to me, Sabretooth.
Right. I mean, like I said, I mean, and he could have, like, you like I said, he could have, like, beat up Jose, beat up a couple of those party goers, and then used the excuse of, like, well, I thought they were going to jump me, knowing good and damn well that they weren't there for that. You know, they could have easily did that, but once again, they, like with the whole Bludgeon Brothers thing with Naomi, they didn't take it far enough. I mean, he would have got major heel heat for beating up some of those Congo Lion guys. I mean,
right.
Really beat them up. But
yep.
they didn't go
I mean,
that forward.
If he had taken one guy and just, like, for instance, he gets in the ring with Jose and then for no reason at all slides out and takes one of those guys out, starts beating the hell out of him. Jose gets out of the ring. There's a real clusterfuck because some of the entourage is running away. Jose gets his ass beaten, too, trying to help. Then Corbin could have said, well, he gave me a dirty look, or he said something to me. You know, and the audience would say, that's bullshit. But then Corey Graves could have put it over and said he probably did. Maybe that guy did. You know what? You're out here at ring. He doesn't even belong at ringside. Corbin was 100% correct to do that. You could have pulled that off, Sabretooth, and made Corbin get a lot more heat than he did.
And it goes back to our point, and it all goes back to the point we made earlier. I mean, like, just to have him beat up No Way Jose is like generic cookie cutter. But to have him beat up one of his friends, one of those party goers, that would have put a personal element to it. You have, like, No Way Jose come back and say, it's my fault that it's my fault that this happened. You know, this shouldn't have happened. It's my fault. You know, he could, like, blame himself for that. That would have made, like, a lot more personal, a compelling storyline than the old generic, I jumped you from behind, because we've all seen Baron Corbin do that before. He jumped Sami Zayn from behind. He jumped a lot of people from behind. But he has never beaten up like someone who's not a worker, you know?
Could you give us 60 seconds of a match? And then Corbin, for no reason, slides outside to take a breather, maybe. Jose's giving him a couple of moves, so Corbin slides outside. And for no reason, just takes out a couple of them entourage. And Jose comes out to try to help, and because he's more concerned with how the guy is in the entourage than watching Corbin, he gets waylaid. And you're right. I mean, then next week or even this week on Raw, you could have No Way Jose saying, look, there's a guy who came to this arena to be a dancer and to come out here and have fun and be in a conga line with me. He's not a wrestler. He's not a fighter. He's just a friend. And he came out here happy and, you know, excited to be a part of the entourage and the excitement and the dancing and entertain the folks. And Baron Corbin decided it would be a great idea to jump out of the ring and plant them like he's a professional wrestler. And now he's hurt. And that's my fault. Because I thought that Baron Corbin was a professional. I thought that Baron Corbin understood that I'm the guy he's supposed to be fighting. But I was wrong. Baron Corbin's a bully. Baron Corbin's a coward. And Baron Corbin decided it would be better for him to attack some guy who absolutely 100% couldn't fight back. That would have sold Baron Corbin. And it would have sold their feud. But no, the WWE doesn't want to do that because they're a little bit afraid, Mike, of, well, that might be too controversial. He hit somebody that wasn't supposed to be a wrestler. They got to stop that.
Right, and especially when you know, when everybody in that audience knows that these guys will, at some point, will end up showing up in NXT as a wrestler, these dancers, these so-called dancers. They know they've been trained, or else they're not going to be there, you know. They're not, they're there for just like the Rosebuds. Most of those people were wrestlers, or were trained wrestlers. You know,
yep, sure were.
And,
yeah.
And you know, and we knew that some of them were going to show up at some point. You know, and so I mean, yeah. And I still think they can make something other than a comedy act out of Jose if they want to. Because look, Jose's got the size, he's got the athletic ability, and you know you can make something out of No Way Jose.
But see, Sabretooth, that's what your point was, I think. I'll let you tell me if I'm wrong, but I think your point was Jose comes out and he's like this party goer, happy, let's just all conga and have fun type guy. But if we could have saw that other side of him, if Baron Corbin had given the end of days to one of those guys on the outside of the ring, and we no longer see that happy-go-lucky No Way Jose, we see a guy who says, look, that was bull. There was no reason on earth for Baron Corbin to attack this guy who's not a fighter, he's not a wrestler, he wasn't there to get involved, he was there to dance. And this guy's hurt. And that's on me, because I was stupid enough to think Baron Corbin wouldn't do something like that. I think seeing that side of Jose would help the fans relate and say, okay, there's a couple sides to him. He's a fun guy who likes to party, but he's not going to take this bullshit from Corbin. I think that would have helped Jose tremendously.
And that was my whole, yeah, exactly. Like I said, yeah, and like you just said, I mean, like he's this happy-go-lucky guy with a conga line, but you need someone to cross that line after where he says, okay, this is bullshit, all bets are off now. I mean, you know, I mean, that's like what they should have done with Bailey a long time ago, you know? Do something for Hannes after where he comes out of that whole happy-go-lucky shit, you know, and he, you know, like,
yep,
I said, someone crossed the line with him, you know, after
when
he
had
that.
You know what else it would have done, Sabretooth? It would have gave a reason why no more conga line.
Yep.
They could have said, well, because, you know, you can't keep doing that. That's going to get old. So then No Way Jose could have said, I can't do that anymore because I can't trust him. I don't want to be responsible for somebody getting hurt, so I'm just going to have to come down by myself.
Yep,
that
a turning
makes
point.
Perfect sense. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you leave it to the WWE to not see the forest for the trees and not want to push that button. We want to talk one more thing, though, before we go off the air, and that is I can't say enough good things about the Alexa Bliss, A Moment of Bliss promo. That was very, very good. And here's why it was very, very good. She stayed very straight-faced. She didn't come out of that character and say, you know, and be sarcastic and mean. She was just so over the top that you're like, well, that didn't happen. You know, that just didn't happen. Now, had she said something less than that, had she said, look, I gave the lady a couple of bucks and Nia, you know, told her to beat it, you know, or something, you say, well, I wonder if that happened. I wonder if that really happened. Well, you know, Nia didn't grab food right out of her mouth and shovel it down her throat like a starving whatever while the woman was looking on in horror. So that is a classic move. The heel trying to be serious goes so far over the top that you say, well, that didn't happen. That's outrageous. The very first thing I thought of, and I don't know if anybody's an old TV fan here, but the very first thing I thought of is an old episode of a TV show where a lady's in court for breaking a television set, and they were trying to fix their neighbor's television set. I think it was I Love Lucy, and they were trying to fix their neighbor's television set, and it blew up. And the lady in court says, and then they went up and broke the other person's television set on purpose. And the lady says, well, after he broke our television set, he forced us to go to his apartment, picked my husband's foot up, and shoved it through his own television set. And you're just like, well, that's absolutely ridiculous. That's kind of what she did last night, Alexa Bliss. She went so far with her story that at some point you're like, well, that's absolute nonsense. That's just baloney, and she's trying to discredit Nia Jax. But she did it with such a straight face that she let the audience see. That's the intelligence factor. That's the factor of saying, I know we have an intelligent audience. I don't have to break into my bad guy character to show you I'm kidding. You're going to know that I'm lying because you're smart enough to pick it up that that's outrageous. That's what's called not treating your audience like idiots. And I thought she did an excellent job, Mike, and I thought it came across brilliant.
You know, that reminds me of a lot of the stuff that both Ric Flair and Tully Blanchard used to do. Tully Blanchard had that, had almost that same gimmick, that super brat type of gimmick, where he would say some of this stuff, and then he would take it one step further, and you say, well, that's bull crap, you know? And
yep.
You would buy it, but it's bull crap. You know, they could absolutely turn this moment of bliss thing into some sort of a talk show type thing. You know, they could
definitely can do, in my opinion, is they can have this on a regular basis. They can have this moment of bliss where she says whatever she wants to say about her opponent, very straight, and make it look like she's the good guy. I think that's a really, really smart angle, and she pulls it off brilliantly, Sabretooth.
Yeah, this thing gets 10 stars, man. I mean, because it was – because inside I'm laughing my ass off because, like you said, she did it with a straight face and a face that now Jax took it out of the woman's hand and shoved it in her mouth. And, I mean, that was so funny to me. And for the first time, this is something that I can look forward to this every week with her doing that little puppy
yep.
dog straight face look and telling her – telling her what her opponents did. I mean, like I can like see her like saying to someone, my opponent – I remember – time when she kicked a puppy, you know, she's
right.
That would be the funniest. I can see this every week and laughing my ass off seeing her do this. She does it so well. Kudos to
right.
her.
Right, you're gonna get that. You're gonna get a little kid asked for an autograph and she broke her pencil. You're gonna get
the
stuff like
that. But just endless, man. The things they could go with this. It's funny.
Right, there is so much material there for a good writer, and she has the ability. That's the key. She has the ability to pull it off. You could write this for other people and it doesn't work because they can't pull it off. She can pull it off. And listen, she's a gold mine. Alexa Bliss is a gold mine for three reasons. There are people who have one or two upsides. Some are really good on the mic, very good in the ring, but they don't make a great appearance. Some make a great appearance and they can't go. They can talk, but they can't go. Some can't do either or any. Alexa Bliss is all three. She's very good in the ring. She's not brilliant, but she's solid. Really, really solid. She makes an excellent appearance and she can talk a fight. She has the mic skills to talk a fight. And I'm telling you, she is one of their blue chippers. Give me Alexa Bliss all day long over Ronda Rousey. I don't give a damn about the credibility, Sabretooth. I'll take Alexa Bliss all day long over Ronda Rousey.
Right, and it all goes back to she's an entertainer. I mean, she's athletic, but what she did last night, that was straight entertainment. I mean, they achieved what they wanted with that segment.
And Sabretooth, you know what the great thing about it was? Unlike Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens where we say, oh, it took their heat away, even though it was entertaining and we laughed a little, it didn't take her heat away because of her presentation.
Exactly, because we all knew that she was lying and was full of shit, which is her character anyway. I mean, she's the biggest bully on the roster. Yeah, he shows this puppy dog ass, straight face, weeping about being bullied. I mean, it works on all levels.
It does. It's a gold mine of an idea, Mike, and it worked out beautifully, in my opinion.
Yes, it's a gold mine of an idea, and it worked out incredibly well. And look, you talk about her, but I think they've got another one on the roster, but she's on SmackDown that could do the exact same thing, and that's Carmella. She's got that gimmick down. She's great. She's very good on the mic, and she's excellent in the ring, you know. So you got two girls that can do the exact same thing on different shows. They don't need to bring those two girls to the show because they got something special with both of those girls.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Ruby Riott did a great job on the mic as well last night. Ruby Riott is a girl who it's very hard to root for her because she's extraordinarily cuts to the bone with some of these things. And while the other two girls, you could see, you know, the one girl has the little Betty Boop cutesy little voice and she's good looking and she's just like, I'm not going to think, you know, and you're like, whatever. She could be a heel or a face or whatever. The same way with Sarah Logan, great wrestler, you know, and she keeps her gimmick good about hunting the animals and everything. But man, when Ruby Riott took that microphone, she really cut loose Sabretooth, and I think she did a wonderful job.
Yeah, but I love like how she's like compared her group to like a can of tear gas. I mean, that was a pretty good line. I mean, that was like a pretty good line right there she used. I mean, guess what? You know, guess what they should be, you know. But yeah,
yep.
She's close to her too.
She's a good one too. So I mean, they've got a pretty good roster here on Raw, Todd. And I don't want to see it ran through by Ronda Rousey. That's my point. I'm starting to like this roster of women. I don't want to see Ronda Rousey decimate them.
You're absolutely right there. I like it too. But the one other thing I don't like having the Rise car come on to Raw as a unit. I just don't like the female stables things.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of disappointed, too, because I thought that's where they could have cut Sarah Logan and Ruby Riott off and went separate directions and done some things with it. But I know this. You have Alexa Bliss on this show. That's a blue chipper. She can do it all. And she has the looks to sell seats and merchandise. You have Mickey James, who is a consummate professional who can get people over, and she knows how to get people over. You have Natty, who's a consummate professional, and she's great in the ring, and she can get people over and knows how to get people over. You now have Ruby Riott, who is great on the mic and way underrated in the ring. Sarah Logan is somebody in the future who's going to be big, in my opinion. You have Nia Jax, who right now is running hot. And you got Ronda Rousey, who if you handle her right and don't just let her be the fly swatter and everybody else is the fly, then this could work. But right now she's the fly swatter. And I think Sabretooth, they need to take a step back with Ronda, just like they had to with Asuka before it becomes the Ronda Rousey division and everybody else is the underlings.
Right. And like I said, I don't know what they're thinking to think the fans are going to like that. It's like they forget that these girls who are there already have their fan base. You can see, and we're not going to just like jump on Ronda Rousey's side just because she's Ronda Rousey. No, I mean there are some Mickie James fans, there are Sasha Banks fans who want to see these girls. They don't want to see them showing up by Ronda Rousey. They just don't.
Yeah, we didn't even bring up Sasha Banks and Bayley. I mean, the Raw women's division is looking really good, Sabretooth.
Right. You know, and like you said before, they we're going to get the women the main event of Raw. Like you said, there was a big fat rat named Ronda Rousey waiting in the wings to just upset the apple cart. I mean, like you said, it was very disingenuous, man. Very disingenuous.
It was extremely disingenuous, and it really... There was two disingenuous things on this show. One, planting Roman Reigns fans and then putting them on camera, chanting Roman, 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 and shooting them from different angles so they looked like they were in different sections. I love that. That was really disingenuous. And then this whole, we hear you, WWE fans. We realize that leaving the women off of the Saudi Arabia show is disappointing to the the fans in other countries. And so we're going to give them the main event tonight. In reality, you're saying, how do we get Ronda to close this show? That's very disingenuous. A couple of very disingenuous things. No question about it. But the Raw Women's Division, SmackDown's good too. I mean, they got Asuka over there. They got Charlotte. They got Carmella. They got Becky Lynch. They got some good people over there. But it's not the Raw Women's Division. Right now, the Raw Women's Division is really, really, really stacked. But you cannot let Ronda Rousey be the fly swatter and everybody else the fly, Mike, or this is going to fall apart quick.
No, you really can't, and that's the deal with that. I mean, I'm going to wait to see what happens tonight because I wouldn't put it past them to to put a SmackDown women's match as the main event tonight, you know, because that's just what they do.
You're right.
But I'm just going to wait because there are things that have been done on SmackDown that should have been done that they didn't take far enough, you know, and we've named one here and there, but they got to do something to spice up this women's division on SmackDown.
They really do, and I want everyone to remember, Friday at 11 a.m., we will be here to give you the greatest Royal Rumble pre-show. We will literally be going off the air as it's going on the air, so for the benefit of you people who are going to be able to tune in and hear it live, tune in to us a little earlier, and we'll give you all the rundowns, our predictions, etc. One of the better Raws in a long time, and I hope that they can continue the trend. I enjoyed Raw last night. It wasn't without its problems, but overall I enjoyed it, and hope to enjoy SmackDown tonight. We will be with the SmackDown report, not Friday. SmackDown report will be Thursday at 12 noon, and then the Greatest Royal Rumble pre-show will be Friday at 11 a.m. So a little bit of change in our programming this week. Thursday is the SmackDown report. Friday will be the Greatest Royal Rumble pre-show. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you then.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.